The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
It's telly time. Ed Smith, presenter of Ed's Songs of Praise here on a Sunday evening on Today FM, is with us along with Jennifer Gannon. And I want to give the usual warning to start about what you might regard as inappropriate material, because we're going to be talking about sex on television now. This is material which is showed after the mythical TV watershed. We don't have a watershed on radio, but we are providing the warning nonetheless, because we are about to play a clip from the trailer for a new Channel 4 programme which starts on Friday, which is called Sex Tape.
In a unique experiment, these brave couples film their sex lives to document what they get up to in the bedroom.
I get the idea now.
This is a good bit.
Ryan's awake.
Then watch it back with other people.
Like, who doesn't want better sex?
Say your foot.
Did you hear them noises?
Oh, my.
Hoping their advice can save their relationship.
He needs to adore this woman.
This is our last shot.
My husband has a fetish.
I like to be dominated.
Did the bed break?
Oh, my God!
Brand new Sex Tape, Friday the 26th of April on Channel 4.
WTF, as they say. What the flippin' hell is that?
Channel 4 are giving us something no one asked for yet again.
And they have people likely to lap up.
But they have form of this, well, lap being the operative word. They had, like, you know, Naked Attraction, where singletons are judged on their wobbly bits, to paraphrase Brendan O'Carroll. And they had the less well-received Sex Box, which we'll never forget, which was Mariella Fostrup trying to be highbrow, standing with a clipboard outside a Perspex box where people were having sex inside it and judging them. So this is just, you know, another extension of that Channel 4 brand. And Sex Tape, I suppose this is the apex or the nadir of this type of telly. It's supposed to be self-help. Like, or
it's a gogglebox for writing.
Yeah, basically.
to kind of put it succinctly, so these three couples each week, straight from the LGBT plus community, who find the physical side of their relationship is on the wane. They discuss their issues to camera, and then they go off and make a tape of them involving themselves physically. Can we see them having sex? And then what they do is they show the tape to the other two couples and a sex therapist, and they all discuss what they've seen on the tape with a view, Matt, to improving
to
their...
What?
With a view to getting viewers, I suppose.
Yeah. It sounds like a traumatic experience that will haunt us all to our dying days. And I just hope it'll be like this combination of something like the ultra critical Four in a Bed, which I think is the best reality TV show out there.
Yeah.
And I really want it to be like that. I really want, you know, they're overly critical, judging each other's businesses, like saying, well, your headboard's chipped, I've got to take points away, or found a pube in me full English, done. I mean, I'm sure that's going to happen on Sex Tape for sure.
It just sounds really boring. I have no interest.
It's a bit Reader's Wives. It's a bit kink. It's a bit 80s soft porn kind of masquerading as,
you know,
self-help.
I mean, really and truly, the box, I mean, I saw maybe 4 or 5 minutes of the box, and I just was bored more than anything else. I've zero
interest.
You were
bored of sex. We were all bored of Sex Box. But I think this, the thing about this is that's intriguing, I suppose, for viewers, is the fact that the other couples get to judge the sex tape. They get to watch it. So I don't think viewers get to watch it.
It depends on the kind of characters.
Yeah,
it depends on the kind of couples that have. First of all, I can't understand how they get these people.
Exactly.
And second of all, the kind of people.
Who would want to do that?
And the kind of people that put themselves forward, are they kind of exhibitionists themselves? Are they going to be sincere?
Well,
if they're dressing this up as some kind of.
Hang on, let's
genuine
talk, I mean,
self-help.
You know, there are people, there are modern celebrities who became celebrities because of their sex tapes.
Yeah.
So you got to work those angles, like literally.
Yeah. Leave me out of this, Matt, please. I prefer you left me out of this. But
this is
my show on Sunday.
His past is his past. Okay, leave that alone.
There is a thing that, I mean, that this could actually be for some people taking part because of the way, and I don't want to sound like an old fuddy-duddy or anything like that, but the way society has developed, this could be the way to become a star.
I think, though, that has passed somewhat. And I think these are general members of the public that are more like the people you'd find in Take a Break magazine than on Love Island. These are the people that are not the Instagram models or anything like that that are trying to parlay it into a career. These are more the people that would be on those certain dubious Channel 4 documentaries about dogging and things like that and voyeurism.
Yeah,
actually, there's another listener has just sent in a message. Charlie in Cork says, do you remember a Channel 4 series on late at night called Carnal Knowledge?
Carnal Knowledge. Now, that sounds like a quiz show with Davina McCall, but maybe it wasn't.
Well,
there was one
this
called...
person says that there was a well-known Irish person who's the co-host. Who's
oh,
not...
yeah. It was, what was his name? The Double Guys and Window Guy.
No, it wasn't. No? So we'll come back. Let's not get the name wrong. Okay.
Oh, God, you've made it even worse.
No, exactly. No,
know, let's wait,
not do... No, no, don't speculate okay. live on air. Don't speculate okay. live on air. Jeez, no. Right, let's move on from sex tape. Right. But I suppose related to it, I mean, Love Island bosses mm-hmm. are now in talk with a Big Brother star yeah. for this year's series.
Well, the problem is, look, we were all thinking, hoping that Love Island would change their MO because, you know, after the tragic death of like their contestant, one of the contestants, Mike Talisatis. Yeah, they were talking about offering, you know, proper guidance and counselling for ex-contestants and, you know, telling viewers that they were taking their criticisms on board, that this year the show be more inclusive and more representative of different body types and ethnicities. But the rumour this week is that they're going to have ex-Big Brother contestant Loughton Carter join the show. And he was actually kicked off the very last Big Brother in 2017 because he got into the civilian Big Brother because he got into, you know, in fights, physical fights, and some of them with the female contestants. And he was in trouble for intimidating contestants.
He seems like a genuinely unpleasant character, this
yeah.
fella. And I think it is, as Jen says, it is disappointing because really Love Island has been under the spotlight recently with obviously some suicides. And it was an awful case of that young woman who passed away and then her boyfriend Sophie Garden, and yeah. then her boyfriend, after a funeral, committed suicide. And a recent study has shown that 38 celebrities around the world are suspected to have died by suicide links to reality TV shows. This is from America, Asia, Australia, all around the world. They can link them directly to having taken part or been involved with reality TV shows. So they have a genuine and very important responsibility to the contestants. And the kind of people, again, that approach these shows to become famous quite quick, and maybe they don't have the mental or psychological capabilities to deal with the fame that comes with all this. It's instant, it is intense, and love turns to hate very quickly in the world that they occupy, and they need to have the strength to deal okay. with it.
And I don't think Love Island needs to be spiced up in this sensational way at all. I think the reason why viewers responded to it in the first place was the ridiculousness of the contestants and their interactions, because it was like early Big Brother, it was more friendly, and it found a good niche for itself with the second and third series. But I think, you know, it fared better when it was just judged as a silly little summer show on ITV2 for a few people that watched it. But I think now with its blanket popularity and cultural cachet, it's just really affected the style of the show.
And briefly, Scott Disick is getting his own show. Who's Scott Disick?
Kourtney Kardashian's baby daddy. He's hung in there long enough, Matt, in fairness. He deserves his own show. He's been there for 10 years. And like, it's been
keeping up the Kardashians on 10 years.
Yeah. It's the decade
and
of Kardashians.
They've had two spin-offs as well, haven't they?
Wasn't that a national holiday, or was it just me? he's survived being a cast member. Like, they've pegged him as the social pariah in it, and you know they've filmed his bouts of alcoholism, rehab, separation, and the death of both his parents. They were all filmed up for grabs for the TV show. So I think maybe Kris Jenner has reasoned that, you know, he's suffered enough, and they're going to offer him his own show, which is like a spin-off of basically his job. Well, apart from doing absolutely nothing, which is he likes to flip fancy properties. So it's going to be about that.
Okay. Carnal Knowledge. Lots of people got in touch with the name of the presenter. And I'm going to read the Wikipedia page about Carnal Knowledge. A short-lived 1996 British television game show relating to sex, hosted by Maria McErlane and Graham Norton.
There we go.
It was shown very late at night, appropriate to its explicit subject matter. And as our listener who tipped us off to this also says, for some reason it's not mentioned on Graham Norton's Wikipedia page.
Yeah, well, neither is the time that he threw a load of salad cream all over Denise Van Outen for some advertisements. That's also deleted from
the golden age
of
television.
He had a career progression.
He did,
on his
thankfully.
Way to being excellent. Actually, I was only watching him last night. I think it must have been a repeat of last Friday's show. And it was very funny talking about Funky the Dolphin. He got into a conversation with, I can't remember who it was, and she was, so it was Ron Howard's daughter.
Yeah.
And she was talking about spending a year when they made Far and Away down in, what was the name
Dingle.
Of that?
Dingle.
She lived in Dingle for a year, and she was talking about swimming with Funky. And she then said about, and this will go down really badly in Dingle, right? They said, and Funky's still alive, I believe. And Graham Norton goes, oh no, come on.
That's
a replacement. And I go, what? Oh yeah,
that
myth or whatever.
That myth, allegedly, because I love
Dingle. They get very sensitive about that.
Of course
that.
They would, yeah.
Build
the town.
Just speaking of Denise Van Outen, there was also the Denise Van Outen show that got Channel 4 into a load of trouble called Something for the Weekend, where they had a segment where was a wall and someone had to identify her boyfriend's penis by looking at a row of strangers' peni. And that was so much controversy. So you can, you know, but now you wouldn't even blink an eye.
I think the general public's kind of taste and kind of shockability is so nulled and kind of nulled at this stage. This kind of stuff just seems a little old hat,
yeah,
as it were.
Okay. Coronation Street, of course, has been around for ages. And we're going to talk about the screen queens from Coronation Street who have conquered other branches of television, because it's not the case, is it, that once you're on Coronation Street that you get typecast. You can actually do lots of other things.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's the writing of Corrie stands to that, because I think it is such a mix between, it flips between comedy and drama, you know, within scenes. And I think that's the reason why you can't really write off any of their strong female characters, because they're all three-dimensional. Like, they're not just the dumb, sexy one. They're not just, you know, someone who mouths a mouthy, gobby one. There are just someone who's really dramatic. They're all of these things. And I think it's a great showcase for actresses. Like, you've had, you know, someone like Sarah Lancashire, who's gone on to, you know, get a BAFTA award.
And she was so typecast as Raquel.
Yeah.
But let's remember her from Happy Valley as police officer Catherine Cowood, trying to get a talk a drunk man out of setting himself alight.
How's it all come to this then, lad?
I've been humiliated.
Humiliated?
But I don't want to talk about it, all right?
OK.
You know, actions speak louder than words.
OK. Can I just say this, though, Liam? The light is making me nervous. You've had a lot to drink and you've got the shakes and you might press it without intending to, and I'd like to put it down.
Just leave me alone, you stupid bitch.
You're upset, I understand that. The point I'm making is that with all these fumes, and frankly, I don't know how you're staying conscious, you could go up any second whether you intend to or not. And once you go up, you won't just go up a bit, you'll go up a lot. And the other big thing to say is it hurts. 3 seconds in, you'll be screaming at me to put you out. 7 seconds in, you'll be begging me to shoot you. I'm Catherine, by the way. I'm 47. I'm divorced. I live with my sister, who's a recovering heroin addict. I've 2 grown-up children, 1 dead, 1 who don't speak to me, and a grandson, so...
Why? Why don't you speak to you?
It's complicated. Let's talk about you.
I think the one thing to remember about that is, you know, that's Sally Wainwright, who wrote Happy Valley, and she used to write for Corrie. So she understands the voices that, the potential and the voices that those women have. They're the backbone of the soap.
But there's a lot of condescension.
A lot of condescension goes on towards the acting that goes on in soap opera. Some of the most iconic and some of the great acting moments and dramatic moments have happened in Corrie, like Hilda Hogdon. When Stan passed away, that iconic moment where she wrapped, you know, just.
But nobody, I think, would have expected Raquel from Coronation Street to become that character, or indeed Saran Jones so popular as Dr. Fox.
But she was amazing in Corrie because she was Karen. She was Steve
McDonald's
wife.
Yeah.
And she had this iconic scene where she chased Tracy Barlow around the church with her shoe at her wedding. And I think with Saran Jones, she has just gone from strength to strength, and she has shown, you know, really showcased how well she can tackle any role. And she's going to be in a Sally Wainwright drama coming in up in May on BBC One called Gentleman Jack, which is, she's going to be, you know, playing this lesbian character from like
Annie
the
Lister,
19th century. And it's getting so many, it's just started in HBO America, BBC America, sorry, a couple of weeks ago, and it's getting rave reviews.
Okay, we better get to picks of the week. What are you going for, Ed?
Ooh, my pick of the week is going, it's a show called Chambers, is happening starting this Friday on Netflix, and it follows a heart transplant recipient who starts experiencing strange after effects from her surgery. And if that's not going to grip you enough, it's got Uma Thurman playing the mother of the deceased donor, and it's quite freaky, quite scary, and I'm all over it this Friday on Netflix.
Okay, what's your pick?
Well, since we were talking about sexy shenanigans, mine is Bonding, which is on Netflix. It starts to what's on today, and it's a really, it's a dark comedy by Ryder Doyle, who's also responsible for the really critically acclaimed very dark comedy Barry. And it just explores this completely unconventional relationship between one-time school friends, and they reconnect in New York City. And while one of them, Pete, he's navigating, you know, the gay dating world, his friend Tiff is working as one of the city's top dominatrix, and it's not long before Pete becomes completely embroiled in that world of the sexual peccadilloes of the obscenely wealthy.
Okay, one listener says Sarah Lancashire is one of the greatest actors ever. She had to pretend she was in love with Curly Watts, for heaven's sake. Yeah.
Exactly, and had to learn French off Ken.
I know, Ed, I would have expected your pick of the week to be The Late Late Show on Friday Night, the country music special.
I'm good. I'm a big fan of country music, Matt, and I'm a big fan of this show.
But there's country music and there's proper country music.
But listen, to each their own. Country music is a huge part of the musical fabric of this country, and there's too much snobbery and too much sneering that goes on every time this rolls around on The Late Late Show because it's a country special. People think, oh, there's Susan McCann or there's Philomena Begley or Nathan Carter. Thousands of people, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people in this country adore country music, and they have every just as much right to have their music showcased as anyone
else. Actually, it's Friday week.
May 3rd, yeah.
Oh, so maybe we'll talk about it next week.
We'll do a little reveal. It might be my pick of the week then, Matt.
Might indeed be. Sorry, Dad, I got ahead of myself.
Yeehaw!
Ed Smith, Jennifer Gannon, thank you.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.